part-time permanent teachers or full-time permanent teachers. We also have occasional teachers who do both daily work and long-term assignments. And we also have some education workers, early childhood educators, along with some educational support personnel and professional support personnel, a smaller number of those last two groups. So predominantly we're teachers, occasional teachers, smaller number of early childhood educators, and quite a significantly a smaller number of professional and educational support personnel.
You were elected as president this past August, and you come into the position at a time when the provincial government seems to be making a few unprecedented moves and proposing some unprecedented reforms to the Ontario education system. Ontario Education Minister Paul Calandra earlier this summer announced the province was going to be taking over some of the province's largest school boards, including the Toronto District School Board, and is also now hinting that he may be changing or abolishing the position of the elected school board trustees. I just wanted to get your reaction to some of these developments.
Yeah, and you used the word unprecedented in your description of what's happening, and I think the definition of and the use of unprecedented, unfortunately, has become more and more common, such that I think some of these aggressive moves, both here in Ontario, in Canada, and obviously south of the border, that are significant attacks on our democratic foundations, are becoming more and more frequent. And as much as I'd like to refer to them as unprecedented, I'm reluctantly starting to believe that they're becoming more and more frequent, and therefore hard to describe with that word. So it's making for an interesting transition. We know both at our level, certainly with our membership, we have got an awful lot of work to do. We consider ourselves the protectors of public education in a variety of forms. Governments, unfortunately, haven't been able to protect public education in the way that we think is appropriate. So we do take this very seriously. It's part of our priorities. Our memberships understand this. And so we are up for this struggle if, in fact, this is what Doug Ford and Paul Calandra are expecting. They're going to get a fight on this.
How will what the province is doing change education? How will taking over school boards more directly, like the TDSB, change education in Ontario?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Last week there was a moment of what has appeared to be a little confusion as to whether or not this notion of taking over school boards was creating four big school boards to run the entire province, or whether it was just taking over the Board of Trustees. It's an interesting, nuanced discussion that most of your listeners and the general public wouldn't understand. But I would definitely characterize those two issues as being substantially similar. Trustees, whether they're removed or whether school boards are removed, the trustees are where big decisions are made, are where the connection with the public is made, the accountability with that local population is made. And if they're not there, regardless of whether the entire school board is removed or whether the Board of Trustees are removed and replaced with one of Doug Ford's friends who doesn't have any idea about public education, might be a business manager, might be a business expert, this is not what this system needs, and it will drastically impair our ability to tailor education in unique communities around this province the way it needs to be tailored. The concept of public education makes reference to it being owned by the public and by the population. And the public and the population in Kenora is not the same as the public and population in Toronto. And this is the part that is most concerning to us. This transition to a business model for the running of a public service is deeply flawed, and one that we understand, our members understand, and we're going to do our best to make sure that the public understands in enough time for potentially a change in direction.
Now, trustees, you know, in some school boards, in some especially more rural areas, they can be elected, you know, with only a handful of votes. Sometimes they run unopposed. But do you feel that by removing trustees that members of the public will be losing a voice in public education?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no question that they will be losing a voice in public education. Local elected trustees do make decisions that are unique to the communities that they're in. And I can't stress this strongly enough. You know, the notion that there have been some examples of financial scandals, whether it's packs of gum or bags of chips or even Skydome hotel visits. Every level of government has financial scandals. This provincial government, Doug Ford's provincial government, has had its fair share of financial scandals. And if the higher level of government stepped in every time there was a scandal overspending, Doug Ford's government would have been eradicated many, many, many years ago. So this cannot be the function by which we focus on when we talk about eradicating a level of governance in our system, in our public system. It's a catastrophe. It's a catastrophe. And so our local jurisdictions would pay drastically if this were to come to fruition.
Now, you mentioned financial issues that the province has mentioned with some school boards. But in other jurisdictions, you mentioned at the top of the conversation, south of the border, we've also seen in Alberta, moves to remove books from school shelves. So is there an ideological aspect to what Doug Ford and Paul Calandra are doing to Ontario education?
Oh, I definitely believe that there is. I mean, it's not typically talked about, but there has been certainly this notion that public education indoctrinates our children into certain left-leaning perspectives, whether that's, respect for our trans community, whether it's, and you can identify any host of progressive conversation that are connected to human rights, that are connected to every one of our citizens feeling safe and comfortable in public institutions. These are not left-leaning ideals. They're human rights ideals. And I do know that this government, and certainly the government in Alberta, the government south of the border, has gone to war on what they call woke ideologies, which I would refer to as human rights issues. And so I do definitely believe that underneath the surface, there is a desire not just to address packs of gum and Skydome trips, but to also rein in and control what is being taught in our schools, to the point where we are making our schools less safe for some of our students who do not fit in the mainstream as defined by certain people.
Yes, of course, that can also include programs like DEI, which Doug Ford has been critical of in school boards like the Toronto District School Board.
I didn't mention that, but it's exactly the same thing. All diversity, equity, inclusion programs and advancements are under attack, wrongfully under attack, and there is a very serious push for that to take place. So I do believe underneath all of the packs of gum and the Skydome trips, there is definitely a much deeper ideological authoritarian desire to control everything that transpires.
Now let's talk a little bit more about that financial cover that you've mentioned a few times, the Skydome trips, the packs of gum. Obviously, the school boards are all funded by the province. So is it really a matter of the school boards mismanaging that funding, or is it a matter of the province not funding education at an appropriate level?
Yeah, our schools are struggling right now. They're struggling. There's not enough supports for our students that are most in need of those supports. We've got a lot of students for a variety of reasons that are struggling with mental health issues. And I don't want to get into that because it's very complicated, very deep. But the reality is our schools need to provide resources to help students reach their best, to provide an opportunity for every child to succeed. And some of our children are not succeeding right now. This government, since being elected in 2018, has systematically underfunded education to the tune of about $6.3 billion over the course of the last 7 years, which equates to about $1,500 per student since that point. And if you think about a class of 24, and that's on the low end, 35 on the high end, having $1,500 per student taken out of that system, think of what we could do differently in a big picture level to provide the supports that our students need. So getting to your question, this systemic erosion of funding, I believe is all a very calculated project by this government to create a crisis, to create a system that doesn't work, to drive parents out of the public system, to take their public dollars into the private system in order for ultimately this to be handed over to private capital. It's a $30 billion a year industry that private capital would love to sink their wallets into and get access to. And, you know, again, if Doug Ford wants a fight on this one, we're going to fight him on this one, because we know that a strong public education system is necessary in order to provide for the best for every child, regardless of family income. It's what we believe.
Now, you called it a manufactured crisis, and that's something, a tactic that we've seen from other governments that seek to privatize public services. We've seen it from this government in its attempt to privatize parts of the public health sector. What is the goal behind privatization? Why do they favor privatization over a well-funded public system? Who benefits from that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a multi-step response to that. I think certainly this government, and I would suggest all conservative governments, they lead and they serve one constituency, and they serve the business class. So I do believe that there is that part of it. I also believe that depending on which conservative and how conservative the government is, there is an underlying desire to get government out of the lives of citizens. And that libertarian perspective where people should have the right to choose everything and government should be out of the way is a form of conservatism also in government. And I also believe that this government has a fundamental understanding or belief that if you don't have the means to provide a certain level of service to your family, to your children, then you shouldn't have access to high quality things. So I think there's a multi-step answer to this, but I have yet to meet a conservative government anywhere that doesn't try to erode public services, hand them over to private capital for a variety of reasons. I don't agree with any of those reasons, because I do believe there are certain things that every individual should have access to at the same level, and education and healthcare are at the very, very top of those lists. If we can't provide every child an opportunity to succeed, regardless of your family means and financial means, then we're doing a massive disservice to humanity.
On these issues of the trustees, the provincial takeover of school boards, you talked about fighting back. What is your union going to do in response to some of these moves?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not totally prepared to answer all of that just yet, but I will say that much of our response will be dependent on being proportional to the violation. Sometimes governments throw out trial balloons to see where they land and see how they might have an impact on people. And we're engaged, I think, in that right now. I mean, obviously Bill 33 is on the table, and Bill 33 is extremely odious. And we are certainly having conversations internally with our membership, with the school boards that are being impacted. We've got members in those boards in Ottawa and Toronto, in Thames Valley, and Toronto Catholic that are being impacted as we speak in this way. But the school year has just started, and some of those impacts haven't necessarily come into the classroom just yet, but we're having those conversations.